A friend shared a story with me, and he says, when he was asked how he was doing, he said, you know, what happened was my car was on 95 and I had a flat tire. And suddenly, my friend said, a scene flashed before his eyes. And he told his friend who had the flat tire, he said, oh, that was you in the blue car? I was out there today and drove right past. I didn't really look. I saw that car and someone standing there. If I'd known it was you, I would have stopped. If I'd known it was you, I would have stopped. I love that. That pretty much sums up my search for God, my friend said. If I'd known it was you, I would have stopped. You know, a lot of times we're just so busy, and you're looking at Mr. Busy, right? I mean, all of us together. And even for some of us who might move a little slower, maybe the last few years, don't you hate being reminded we're all getting older? Like, you could say that to a newborn. Hey, I just want to tell you something. You know, we're all getting older every day. It's true for a newborn, yes? It's just as true for a newborn as it is for us. And yet sometimes we weigh ourselves down with the expectation of doing things and getting everything done that the unexpected opportunity passes us right by. And some of us might be waiting, you know, when's God going to show up? Or maybe God says, you know, I've been around. And we say to him, if I'd only known it was you. You know, when Jesus, you know, entered our world, that's like God in the flesh. That's God saying, you know, I've sent you prophets. I've given you scriptures. You've read stories. I've been involved in your life from the very creation of time. But you're all not getting it yet. And so in order to communicate with us, God said, I'm going to become just like you. And that's why when we say to err as human isn't really true. Because Jesus was human and didn't sin, didn't make any bad choices. He didn't break any rules. How many of us can say that? And in fact, most of us are often filled with anxiety for all the things that we've done or left undone. Sometimes we can let that anxiety get the very best of us so that our boundaries in life can get a little cluttered. Oh, if only, you know, regretting things, wondering if only I had noticed, if only I had done something. And here's the good news, that every single day is another day for us to be born again. To experience God as if it was for the first time. So no matter what kind of experiences we've had, maybe you had years of your life where you just sort of looked around and said, I don't see God anywhere. My life's like awful. I don't see God anywhere. Or maybe you said, my life is so awesome. I don't see God anywhere. But now you're kind of saying, oh my gosh, God loves me so much. In fact, Paul, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, which wasn't unlike Greater Philadelphia region. I mean, it was just a busy metropolis, the city of Corinth. And Paul tells these crazy Corinthians that these people who were beset with so many issues. I mean, it would have taken Dr. Phil years alone just to deal with this church in Corinth. They had so many problems, so many bad choices surrounded them. And you know what Paul said to them? He said, hey, I got news for you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. God has taken up residence in you. In fact, you turn to your neighbor right now and just tell them right now, say, God lives in you. Can you tell them that? God lives in you. God lives in you. And that's like, at one hand, that could be totally comforting. Oh, I'm so great that God is so close. That I'm the temple. Paul told the people in Corinth. They love temples in Corinth. You know Corinth? You know those columns and stuff? They just love building great buildings and great temples to many gods. And Paul says, but you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the one God resides in. And on the one hand, comforting. On the other hand, it's like terrifying. Because, oh my gosh, God lives in me. And what that means is that we no longer have to make excuses for our sin. We just have to tell God, God, I just missed the mark. I've made bad choices. And you know what God says to that? You know, like, what else is new? I totally understand that, and I love you. Now, the things that you've done, totally could have made better choices. Some of the things you missed doing, oh, such a shame that you missed that. But God, at the end of any moment of anxiety, of worry, of fear. If no matter our regrets, at the very when we put a period in something, God puts a comma. And God says, I am not done with you, because don't you remember that if you belong to Jesus, God's Spirit has taken up residence in your life. And so the boundaries that we set become important to us. In the Romans passage that Beverly read for us a few moments ago, if you look in the English, it's clear in the Greek, it's written in Greek, but in the English even, you could see it's just comma, phrase, comma, phrase, comma, phrase. It's like Paul never went to a grammar class because he has terrible punctuation. But he just wrote and wrote and wrote, reminding us that we belong to God, that God has promised to do something amazing in our life. And it's almost as if he never wanted to put a period at the end of a thought. Because the second he came up with a majestic thought about how God is involved in our lives, he said, oh, but wait, there's this. And also there's this. And don't forget that. So the Christmas story is not a period at the end, but a comma. Maybe for you fancy grammar people, an ellipsis. Don't you love ellipses? And so the ellipsis is right there. So whatever you know about the Christmas story, don't put a period at the end, put a comma. Because God is not done working with us, which is why I said you are in the right place today. Because God is present with you, and not only that, God lives within us. Because we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So Joseph is the star of the story today. You know, Joseph's a little neglected, I think. You know, we don't think too much about Joseph. Of course, we understand that Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but Joseph was Jesus' earthly dad. And so this story today is all about carpenters. Any carpenters in the room? We've got to have some. This is the Church of Carpenters. I see those hands that aren't going up. But you know carpenters, and you know carpenters, because if you don't know a carpenter, you're in big trouble, because you have to pay a lot to get a good carpenter. And good carpenters are a skilled trade, and Joseph was one of those carpenters. And this story is all about just an ordinary guy who had an ordinary hammer and built frames the doors, frames the tables. And so this carpenter, Joseph, was engaged to Mary, whom he loved and adored. And he had plans. Maybe sort of like the guy on 95 who had the flat tire. He was going somewhere. But the unexpected happened. You ever have any unexpected things happen in your life? Huh? You're saying, Pastor Kevin, did you see my morning? Yeah, it was just this morning. Any time you were off in a hurry, and that's the one where there's always bad traffic. Have you ever noticed that? Actually, the traffic doesn't vary so much. It's your internal calibration that when you're in a hurry, everything else is slowing down. The traffic doesn't change. You're changing. And so all of us have these expectations in our life. Maybe it's not things you did or didn't do in your life that causes a worry or anxiety in your life. It may be just the things that are unexpected that just make your order of things go just tilted. You know, it's an illusion that we're in control of anything. But we do our very best to convince ourselves that we're in control of a lot. Until the next event happens. Until the next date is missed. Until the next family member surprises us with some sort of news that, oh, there we go again. Or maybe it's some expectation you've had in your own life. And maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's some news from a doctor that you didn't expect. Or maybe you're just one of those that just say, I'm getting older every day. Which is, of course, as I said, true for all of us. But we begin to feel it more every day. And when we see the energy of children, our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, kids in the neighborhood, sometimes that just like overwhelms us because of that amazing energy. Well, Joseph was someone just like our kids today. He had plans. He had energy. But he found out that his wife that he was engaged to, his wife was going to have a baby, and it wasn't his. That's as much as he knew. And so something unexpected happened. He was a good guy, Joseph. The law required him to actually make a big case about Mary and to go to the local rabbi and to complain and make a case against her. But he didn't. He was a righteous man, the text tells us. And he said, no, instead he was going to just say, just break the engagement. Terrible news. Plans, all the expectations. Oh my gosh, it was just, they were looking forward to a future together. And so this happens. Joseph thinks his life is over. And he decides, but I just can't bring Mary to any ridicule in the public. I'll just dismiss her quietly. And I guess I'll just go on with my life. She'll go on with hers. That's just the way it'll be. But happily, God says, hey, wait a second. I noticed you. And although you think, you know, the worst, I want you to know that what's happening to Mary is actually my doing. And everything is under my control. And I want you, he's had an angel, came to him in a dream. I want you to go ahead and I want you to take Mary as your wife. I want you to keep your plans going. And I know this is an unexpected bump in the road. But I want you to stay true to the plan. Because what is planned ahead for not only you and Mary, but what is going to be born, this is going to just change the entire world forever. And so Joseph awakes from his dream and has a different thought of things. You know, this happens sometimes. Recognizing that God notices us when we have the flat tire. God notices us when we have the unexpected medical emergency. God notices us when we just are moving a little slower. Or maybe just things around us seem to change in ways that we don't appreciate. God says, I've noticed you, and I want you to know that I'm there with you in it. Joseph then goes back to Mary and says, hey, Mary, I have no clue what's going on, but God says it's good news, and I'm with you. And Mary says, Joseph, I have no clue what God is doing. I just know that God has blessed me with some incredible gift, and I'm with you. And so off they went in a world together. And this is like, you know, when people have babies, you know, sometimes they'll get tests, right? Ultrasound, whether it's a boy or a girl. Well, he got even more news than that. Joseph and Mary not only found out it was a boy, but he had a name. And his name was Jesus. And that name means Yeshua. It's Joshua in the Old Testament. Jesus is a modern variation of that name. And it means one who saves, one who delivers, one who makes the way possible. If you will, Jesus is our Savior, God's Son, who makes life possible, who opens things up to possibilities. Do you feel stuck today? Do you feel some unexpected things in your life are kind of draining you? But just know that God is a God of possibilities. Think of Jesus, Yeshua, the Savior, the one who makes the way open. Joseph could have done a lot of things that day, but he thought better of it. He says, you know what? I am just going to do what an angel told me to do. And because of his faithfulness and accepting that unexpected challenge in his life, he knew that God would not let him down. Each of you are an incredible gift to the world. And whatever we're experiencing in our life, God is in the midst of us. So that when things are going bad, it doesn't mean God has left. And like that guy on 95 with the flat tire, if only I knew it was you, I would have stopped. Let's not let those opportunities that God has set before us pass us by. This Christmas can be like any other Christmas ever. And it's not about the gifts we receive, but it may be about the gifts God asks you to give. They might be acts of kindness, acts of thoughtfulness, catching up with a friend. There are different ways that we can just let God know that we are here on this planet because we are here on purpose to make a positive difference, and that whatever pain we're in, God is with us in it. Remember that Jesus is not only our Savior, but he's the open door to possibilities. Let us pray.